It's time for The Citizen Lobbyist, a discussion of local, borough, and state politics featuring Terry Snyder and Mike Malefsky.
Mike Malefsky here at Big Cabbage Radio in Palmer, Alaska. Who's on the line?
Good morning, Mike.
Good morning. Good morning, Citizen Lobbyist. Well, we're ready. We're ready to plunge into an area that has sort of been touched upon in previous discussions, both at the borough and maybe some further time back at the city. And we're talking about kind of a couple things. One, what happens to all of the septage and sewage that's produced around and about in the borough?
Well, let's start out with something a little bit, a little better note. I want to just stop real quick, Mike, and say it was good to see you last night at Palmer Community Foundation gathering. If you folks don't know about the Palmer Community Foundation, a good time to check that out. I know Radio Free Palmer has been the beneficiary of some of the great grants and numerous grants that they've given out to the community. And just watching the inception and looking around that nice celebration last night with the grantees and donors and other members of the public, it was just kind of heartening to see how far that organization has come and what wise stewardship that they've gotten from the Alaska Community Foundation. It was really a good celebration, Mike. So I just want to put that out there. And
I would agree, it's always good to start from a good place like that. A lot of nonprofit organizations that were spotlit yesterday, and there are more out there. So when we realize how much is done, sometimes when we're focused on what we're talking about, it is about the government entities, the borough assembly, the council, the school board, and there's all the rest of this that actually makes life work here.
Little small projects throughout the community that you might see pop up, and it's easy to go to saying, oh, well, that's just another government project. Well, not so much. That bench, that ball field, those batting cages, there's all kinds of good work being done there. So it might be worth an interview at some point to somebody from the foundation. Again, I think Debbie Rutherford is probably the one that is from the original group of board members, but they have some fine board members that all speak really well.
Right. So. Yeah, you're right. We've interviewed representatives from there in the past, and we need to bring that back into focus. Okay.
So the septic wastewater meeting, which was several weeks ago, little disclaimer, I've made it just about through the 3 or 4 hour meeting that they had. I think I have about a half hour left. And the part you wanted to start on, Mike, is the part I haven't completely finished. Although there was just, if people go to the agenda that the borough put out, which was on August 2nd, it's on their website, all the handouts, which, again, kudos Mr. Brown and the Manager Brown and the clerk's office for making sure those are there. There's some really good handouts that even if you don't listen to the meeting, I think if you take the time to look at the handouts, it really will answer a lot of really good questions about, you know, not a sexy subject, but a really important subject to the health of our borough. So, if we want to start on that Palmer one, Mike, I think I just sent you a little late, but a good one on the septic facility that you talked about in that should be coming up. I talked about subject at the council meeting upcoming. I haven't heard anything at the Palmer council meeting about a joint effort that may be going on between the borough and the city to get rid of the leachy part or the clear part of our septic. But there is some work going on. There's been a study done about the feasibility of that. And there's quite a good PowerPoint on that talking about the whole current and historical wastewater disposal that opened my eyes a little bit that I didn't know about because it goes back many, many years.
Right. And I think those two documents that you refer to are very important together. Mm-hmm. Your reference to history is significant because there has been a long history of what to do with sewage and septage. And actually, I'd like to separate those two out because what has been prominent within the city of Palmer has been action taken, multimillion-dollar improvement to the sewer treatment plant because we have had an order from above, from the feds, to say what we had been doing before could not continue. And this has resulted into an upgrade, and the city of Palmer is pretty proud of the changes that have come about. And that treats the sewage that flows from homes located here within Palmer. But then when we use the term septage, we're talking about, okay, then what happens when you have to pump out a septic tank? Where does that all go? And there are a number of septage companies, pumping companies, located here in the city and as well as in the borough. And that becomes an interesting thing because most recently the whole question popped up when there was an approval made of a new subdivision near Cedar Hills that could have been connected to the sewer system and all the rest of that and what would have been probably a pretty efficient thing, but would require some upfront costs on the developer's part and the purchaser's part. On the other hand, those houses will now be connected to septic tanks, which will at some point have to be pumped out, et cetera. And of course, in the borough, there's an extensive septage pumping process going on. So the history shows that, the stuff pumped is taken into Anchorage, which has a cost associated with it. And and once you take a look at the history, then you say, okay, well, we have now what appears to be a first-rate sewage system here. Can the septage not have to be driven into Anchorage, but come here? And would that work technically? And would that be profitable in one sense for both the haulers of septage as well as the city of Palmer operating a system? Well, I have to tell you, I was able to read quickly through the septage facility feasibility study that was done, and it was done by CRW Engineering, and it was done in June, this past June of 22. So I read through particularly the executive summary and the conclusions, and I would draw, that's available on the borough's website. And I would draw people's attention to it because there are a set of conclusions made from the evaluation. And in plenty punches, they said a significant degree of pretreatment is necessary if you are going to treat septage at the Palmer's wastewater treatment plant. But if you screen, dewatered, and mix the septage, the city of Palmer wastewater, with a set of treatments, it is technically feasible in producing wastewater that can be subsequently treated by Palmer's system. And then based on the projections, the history of septage volume growth, the costs in general could be resulting in hauler trip costs that are less than the cost of taking it into Anchorage, which was the whole point. So if you're a hauler of septage, you would be benefiting from going to Palmer. And then the last one, based on the total trip costs and the fees estimated, septage received in treatment here, the revenues in Palmer would easily match or exceed operational and financing costs for this operation. So what I read from that was that, oh, okay, what does that mean? That means the recommendation would be to continue working on this and have the borough, this was a borough study essentially, the city and the borough work together to make this happen. That's what one would have thought.
Mm-hmm.
But
and I can tell you have a an opinion about this, Mike.
Well, I have an opinion because it's something that has been considered for many, many years. And back in the day, I remember very clearly looking at this as a member of the Palmer City Council, and we've observed it over time. We've watched committee reports that seem to be moving very slowly, but the timing now seems to be appropriate to say Palmer's treatment facility is upgraded to a situation where it could be both technically and financially feasible to do this. All that it requires is to have the borough and the city work together to make it happen. The last action that I saw was that a committee which had been established to do this stuff had been disbanded, and I'm looking for information. Maybe you have some, citizen lobbyist, about what the borough and or the city is planning to do next.
Well, as I said, I haven't gotten to the end of the meeting, and I was a little alarmed, too, to hear that the work of that committee had sort of been discharged. But I think the focus of that committee, if I remember right, Mike, was to talk about a standalone facility for the borough to service the whole borough.
Right.
And there's, you know, some salient information here that the septic, 95% of borough citizens use a septic system.
Right.
That's just the way it is. And Wasilla, which is, I think, kind of in the side here, they're operating at capacity with what they have too. And I wonder about that because the placement of this facility in the very end of the borough when haulers are coming, you know, as far away as, you know, Talkeetna and above, is still a significant, measure for them to go. And while it will certainly save them money, what's the overall cost to all of it? And is it really, this evaluation seems to say, yes, it's doable. The borough and the city just has to get together and do it. And it's sort of an interesting parallel to another subject we were going to talk about. We probably won't have time, but with the school board and the school board, issues that they're having with parking lots, with jammed up parking lots, with schools that they're trying to build now outside of bonding, and the back and forth that's going between the borough and the school board as who should pay for that, those capital projects, and where the money should come from. And it does seem to be a bit of a shift from the responsibilities of the borough for the borough citizens in the case of the school, to more for the school to take instructional dollars to do some of these projects. And now we're talking about a sewage septic system that, again, the city of Palmer, the residents of Palmer, have paid for to get to this point that is up to par and beyond par because they've been looking ahead at capacity in a very dense population. But still making some interesting decisions, as you said, not to bring other, you know, sort of the outside areas on board, but there's certainly room to do that. And then you've got Wasilla sitting over there that's at capacity, can't even be a player in this game. And at some point, the rubber's going to meet the road over there, and they're going to have to do something with their system. So there's a lot of moving parts to this thing. It's one solution to tie into the water to the current Palmer system, but the bigger overall elephant is in the room is at some point for the good of the borough overall we have to get off septic system, we have to have a sewer system, you know, we have to be all tied together, and that's going to be years waiting on us, Mike, to happen. But that's the cleanest way to do it, is to quit, because at some point in time, septic systems, these individual septic systems that we see, are going to fail.
Right.
And they're going to cause a huge environmental problem when they do. So I'd like to make sure that any agreement that we come to, that the borough and the city comes to, that that's the overall goal for the overall goal of the borough is to have in place a system that is an up-to-date, and that we're bringing on less septic tanks and more people onto actual water and sewer systems like we have in Palmer. Because I think that should be the goal for our communities, to save the clean water that we have. And that is my rant.
Okay, and it's an appropriate rant at an appropriate time. I would say that what we are hoping to do by talking about this at the present time and drawing listeners' attention to some of the studies being done is to take a look and say, okay, very often without this kind of detailed information, people have some ideas. But this suggests to me that whether it's the city of Palmer that's going to be addressing the issue or the borough, that attention could well be paid by listeners who may want to check agendas, and we'll try to surface when further discussion is happening to say, okay, the assembly responds to citizen input, as does the council. And it's getting to be, sometimes the obvious gets in the way. It's like having a road that you drive over that has some potholes in it, and that is right in front, and a lot of people can point to that, and something can be done about it. But this is literally under the ground. It's hidden. It's not showing up necessarily as having potholes in it, but our sewer system has potholes in it, and they're getting bigger, I think.
And it's probably one of the most basic and most important infrastructure that we can have. It means whether people can come here and want to come here because they have clean water and air. And when parts of it are failing, when I look at the city of Wasilla, who's failing at this point, and are back where Palmer was when they decided many years ago, oh, we're getting penalized here, we're going to make it better. They haven't gotten that step yet. And who's going to pay for that? Because what I see is an overall shift from the responsibility of the federal government to the state governments, and the state governments are pushing them down to the borough government. So at what point, somewhere the rubber's going to meet the road here, and are we prepared for it?
Got it. Okay. Well, we have a few minutes left, citizen lobbyist, and we started by reminding that some good things are happening. We've had our way with septic and sewer discussions. Is there another brief topic we would like to share with listeners before we do finish up?
Well, still on the solid waste, I will say that the American Rescue Plan has provided an enormous amount of money, a total of $21 million to do some allowable uses and upgrades to the landfill, which could really save taxpayer money. And there's quite a good handout on that too. It's really up to the assembly. None of it has come through, but it talks about opening cells and closing cells where we put our landfill, leveraging the work that the recycling center does. But they've done a lot of work out to that landfill now in traffic congestion. The time has come to upgrade the scales. The scale houses are reaching their end of life. But there's a lot of really good work being done out there in the landfill development, and a great opportunity to do some work that's going to be needed by leveraging the money that's coming that way from the federal government on the American Rescue Plan that might provide some really good advantages to the borough on that. So I'd encourage people to download that roadmap, Solid Waste Division roadmap. And also, if you think that it isn't a subject you want to really think about, it's really quite a good meeting to listen to. Sometimes these special meetings sort of drive under the fire, so to speak, and nobody kind of listens to them. And I find sometimes some of those are some of the most important ones. And both the joint school board meeting that we talked about last week, Mike, and this landfill one, I think is the one that people want to listen to and want to look at the handouts that the borough has provided.
Okay. Good point. good point. Yeah, we sometimes think the assembly meeting, council meetings are the big ones, but what is being discussed in considerable detail and focus and provided to the assembly comes from those special meetings. Yes, very good. Mm-hmm. Well, yeah. Citizen lobbyists, I think we've just about run out of time. We've covered the subject we thought we would, and we'll be back next week. And
meeting.
Yes, yes.
And one last thing, Mike, we have a couple seconds. Get
sure.
out and vote.
Yeah.
Early voting has started at the city of Palmer. It's so easy to just walk in there. We get that window of 2 weeks before the day of the election, which is October 7th.
October 4th.
And listen to the interview that Emily has done on the only contested council race that we have. I listened to them yesterday. They were really good, open my eyes about a few things. I encourage anybody to take the time to do those. They're on the radio. Palmer website. She did an excellent job, as she always does. But more importantly, get out and vote. I was the seventh voter on Tuesday morning. So, yeah, get out and vote. We have almost 5,000 registered voters. Giddy up.
Got it. Well, thank you. Thank you again, Citizen Lobbyist, for all of that. Take care now.
All right. Take care.
Bye.
You've been listening to The Citizen Lobbyist, broadcast on Thursdays at 8 a.m. and repeated at 5 p.m. on Big Cabbage Radio in Palmer, Alaska. You can find the podcast at radiofreepalmer.org. The views and opinions of moderators and guests do not necessarily represent those of Radio Free Palmer, this station, or its underwriters. If you have any comments or questions, please email manager@radiofreepalmer.org.